Thanks, Nathan, and good morning, everybody. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Lots going on with the Port Covington story, as Ken Burns from our news department and Nathan have been reporting this morning. Committee Chair Carl Stokes opted to delay a vote which would bring the bill to the floor of the council for Lord knows how long. We will have more on that story next week as it continues to unfold. We begin today with a conversation about the decision by pro football quarterback Colin Kaepernick not to stand during the playing of the national anthem before his games with the San Francisco 49ers. Late last month, Kaepernick spoke to reporters at the 49ers training facility.
There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for, and that's something that needs to change. You know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all, and it's not happening for all right now.
Will you continue to sit?
Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. When there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
Most recently, instead of sitting, Kaepernick has knelt during the anthem. His actions have set off a predictable firestorm of protest and backlash from fans, current and former players, and the ever-generous Twitter sphere. It's also led to similar acts of solidarity from Kaepernick's teammates, other NFL players, and athletes in other sports. President Obama was asked about it at the G20 summit in China last weekend.
In terms of Mr. Kaepernick, he's exercising his constitutional right to make a statement. I think there's a long history of sports figures doing so, but I don't doubt his sincerity based on what I've heard. I think he cares about some real, legitimate issues that have to be talked about.
In an essay in the Baltimore Sun this week, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist E.R. Shipp wrote, "Mr. Kaepernick is the ultimate patriot, caring enough about his very flawed nation to call it out for its failings and shaming the rest of us into engaging with the issues he raises." E.R. Shipp is associate professor and journalist in residence in the Morgan State University School of Global Journalism and Communication. She joins us on the phone from her home in Baltimore. Morning, Shipp. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. So last night, the NFL opened its season with a game between the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers, and a linebacker for the Denver team, Brandon Marshall, also kneeled in protest during the playing of the national anthem. That brings to three players in the NFL who have joined Colin Kaepernick in this method of protest, and the Seattle Seahawks are talking about some sort of demonstration of unity in Sunday's game. Of course, Sunday happens to coincide with the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. It's unclear what the Seahawks may or may not do in Sunday's game. But I wonder, do you see this in some way as the kind of the nascent stage of a pro-athlete Black Lives Matter movement?
It seems that it could be that. But I'm not quite sure whether all the athletes who are showing solidarity are on board fully with the cause that Colin Kaepernick is raising or whether they're supporting him. So it's kind of early to generalize about whether this is becoming a Black Lives Matter movement in sports.
The president mentioned that there's a long lineage of sports figures protesting. We had the track athletes raising their arms in the solidarity fist in the 1968 Olympics. We have Muhammad Ali, who lost his crown and was basically kicked out of the sport of boxing when he protested against the Vietnam War. There's a guy named Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who was a player in the NBA. 20 years ago, he chose not to stand during the playing of the national anthem. He was promptly fined $36,000, and the NBA then changed its rules requiring players, and Milton Kent told me this yesterday, I wasn't aware of this, that the NBA actually requires its players to stand during the playing of the anthem. The NFL and Major League Baseball have no such requirement, although it's certainly a suggestion for them to do. What do you think's different now, and Mr. Abdul-Rauf suffered greatly for this. I mean, his career during his prime playing time was cut short. His house was burned down in Atlanta. I mean, there were you know, virulent protests against him. What do you think's different now, 20 years hence?
Well, in some ways, I suppose the relationships between the leagues and the unions may be a bit different now in terms of what the teams might be able to require or the leagues may be able to require. But I think more people are aware of some of these issues now more quickly because of social media and such, so more people can become involved in the dialogue and hopefully become a little bit more educated about what some of the issues are. There still will be those who react with the flag burnings and the jersey burnings and those kinds of things, but one hopes that more people will at least be intrigued enough to look into what it is he is protesting.
You mentioned, for example, the third verse of the Star Spangled Banner, mm-hmm. which is a verse that no one ever sings because we only sing one verse when we do it at public events. But that verse sings, "No refuge could save the hiring and slave from the terror of flight and the gloom of the grave." And then it goes on, "Oh, say, can you see that, you know, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave?"
It appears that from everybody's becoming now an instant historian, and I thank Mr. Kaepernick for that, to make a lot of us go back and think about this song. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer and an amateur poet, and the most important poem he ever wrote ultimately became the Star-Spangled Banner, or the national anthem. The first verse is what we try to sing, but many of us don't even know the lyrics to the first stanza, it's sad to say. But definitely no one knows the second, third, and fourth. The story of how he came to write the poem, generally, for most of us, it stops with he was excited to see that the flag was still flying over Fort McHenry, I guess, after the battle in 1814. That was part of the War of 1812. But what is not really known is that he was really angry at some of those who had been fighting with the British against the Americans. And those included former slaves who had been promised their freedom if they sided with the British. So that third stanza is really about gloating over the fact that the Americans had won, ultimately, and had in various ways punished those who had fled to fight with the British. So it's if you really study the lyrics of the song, it's not something I think that a lot of people might want to be standing for. But even before you get to that, this song didn't really become the national anthem until relatively recent in historical terms. It was during the presidency of Woodrow Wilson that he made it the national anthem by executive order. Now, Woodrow Wilson is a problematic person in history, too. He was perhaps our most racist president. So the fact that he liked the song kind of gives you the creepy crawlies if you start linking all these dots. So Kaepernick has a lot of us thinking about the history and wondering where this may end up as we have a real true discussion about the national anthem.
Yeah, and I guess that was done in the late 20s or early 30s, and at that point it had been sung at a lot of events. It was becoming pretty normal. But you write in your column this week, "Why is anyone obligated to demonstrate patriotism by standing for the playing of the national anthem at sporting events?" And it raises the question, is there an onus on those who do stand? In other words, by standing, are you somehow showing that you are opposed to the goals and the issues that that Mr. Kaepernick and others are raising?
Well, that may be an interpretation going forward, but why were we standing in the first place? I mean, it's like I remember as a kid, we had to start our school day reciting the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And so that was something that you did. The same with the national anthem. It was something you were told you had to do. But if you think about it, you went, well, why do we have to stand at sporting events if you happen to be in the stadium at the time? Some people try to conveniently disappear at that time because they have other things to do. Or they're talking and having fun and not exactly paying attention to the national anthem. So why is that a measure of your patriotism, whether you or standing for the national anthem? Why is the national anthem even played at the games? These are some interesting questions now, too.
This certainly has shown that, yet again, there is a huge racial divide in this country on issues involving inequality, racial and economic and otherwise. Do you think that this has shown an incapacity of a lot of white people? Because the backlash against Kaepernick has been largely white.
Yeah, but it's out of that ignorance that pervades this country, and it's so frustrating when people have access to so much information these days. If they would even just study a little bit of it, and they would see perhaps the points he's making, but also examine the national anthem and the whole rituals that are surrounding it, but ask themselves questions.
Yeah, it's a teachable moment, isn't it?
If we truly believe in this Constitution that we have and truly believe in the rights and freedoms that it articulates, then the right to protest is fundamental. So you can disagree with him. That's your right.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go out and attack him.
Exactly. We've got to call it quits now. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. But I do appreciate your column, and I appreciate your joining us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
E.R. Shipp is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who's associate professor and journalist in residence at the Morgan State University School of Global Journalism and Communication. Coming up after a break for the news, the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem, Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival, and Hornaday of the Washington Post join me for our monthly look at all things cinematic. Stay with us. I'm Tom Hall. Here's Nathan.